Wait a minute, guys. Is that who I think it is? The Motor City Madman? Oh, yeah. Well, that must mean it's time for Puck Off.
Give Teddy one more chord.
Yeah, there you go. You gotta love the Madman.
The Nuge last night. 2 goals. Only took him 9 coaches in 12 years, but he came through.
He did at the right time.
Oh, you got to love the news.
To save Mr. Smith's hide.
I know. I say every week, I still can't. I was like, oh, there he goes. But he came through.
Yeah, yeah. You know, first of all, it is time for Puck Off, guys. Andy Picaro, Joe Bartnick here in the studios at All Things Comedy, Fraser Smith, and... Andy and I were just looking at the shot.
The Mike Smith, Rasmus Anderson, Mike Smith shot. I honestly, and I know I cover for Mike Smith all the time on here, that just seemed like a rough play. Like, I think he just lost the puck, and the puck took the weirdest dip. It was like he chipped it or took a pitching wedge and got it on the green. It just kind of lofted up in the air, and I think that he never saw it go up, and then the only time he saw it was in the net.
When he shot it hard, I'm like, oh, he's putting that on net. Like, that wasn't like a, hey, I'm clearing the puck on the penalty kill.
Well, that's what I asked Andy. Was it a clear or was that an actual shot on his part?
It looked like he was kind of aiming at the net.
Well, I think that's – if you're going to dump it in as hard as you can, that is a move you see a lot of – Darian Hatcher used to do all the time, take those huge slap shots from, like, center ice that would go on net. Pronger did that, too. I think that is a kind of a move. I think he wanted to get it towards the net. You don't want to put it always in the corner, especially if nobody's actively going towards the corner.
Some of the most famous ones ever, Stevie Y against the Blizzards.
Okay, right. Sure.
Ronnie Francis, I believe, against the Rangers. There's some infamous blue lines ins, but never from that.
Yeah,
far
I was gonna
away.
Say That's Stevie Y ways, was man. It was at least across the blue line, like barely. Like he was just
no, you mean the red line.
Stevie Y was across the. He wasn't across the blue line.
I don't think he was across the blue line.
I think he was right wrong. As he crossed. I don't remember. I don't know. I'd have to watch it again. I'm never paying attention to the blue line when I see that replay.
That was a wild shot in any case, man.
In any case. And, you know, Markstrom, coughing. I don't say choke, but that first goal was terrible for the Nuge. Well, bad angle on the Nuge, though. He got it in there.
He did get in 20 seconds into the game.
Yeah, let's just take a moment and talk about the Edmonton Oilers. Okay, the bottom three lines are holding serve. And Nuge came up big yesterday, but... The big three, the top line. I was telling Andy in the car over here, Leon Draisaitl, he shall be Leon. First time ever, a guy starts a series with 3 points in the first 4 games. Think about it. Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Crosby, Rocket Richard, Jean Beliveau, Trottier.
Nobody's done it.
Ever.
Pretty amazing. And how about the
guy?
Because,
I mean, 3 points isn't, I mean, it, obviously it's a ton. It's never been done before. But you think Gretzky might have done it before. I mean,
you would think,
that's
yeah.
the answer, because Gretzky has almost 400 postseason points. And I think Messier's next with, like, almost 300. So it's like those guys are the ones that the records are falling for. It's crazy that it's Oilers beating Oilers up there for these things. But right now, Connor McDavid, I think the stat is before last night, has more points than 5 Conn Smythe winners at the time they won the Conn Smythe.
And he's about to pass Gretzky on the points, isn't he?
He's outpacing him on assists in a series, which is who would have ever thought that? And he's outpacing the current mark. Gretzky's mark is, I believe, 47, and he's at what, 25 now?
There was a stat that, I mean, since 1980, but basically it's like Gretzky, Mario, and then Geno's 2009 are the only people over like 38 points. And he's already got like 26.
Yeah.
When
Sid won the Conn Smythe, he had 24 points. In 16-17, he had 24 points. And then when Kopitar won the Conn Smythe, 24 points. Like, 24 points is you're in the Conn Smythe race if you've gotten the mid-20s.
Oh, yeah. The fact that Geno had 38 or 37 or 38 was ridiculous.
Yeah, but
that's
was
because
crazy.
He had, like, the Hurricanes and he had the Flyers.
Yeah.
And those couple crazy series where it was just like he was on fire.
Yeah, and the Hurricane series was still only four games, but he scored like all the – him and Max Talbot scored all the goals. And then in the finals, kind of the same thing.
Now, how about the much maligned Evander Kane?
Well, what more can you say? Two goals last night. He's at a hat trick. You know, he's people aren't taking liberties. You know, only Lucic is taking a liberty on McDavid. So nobody, no mortal has. You know what I mean? I mean, not Fogel. You know, like whatever. Coleman hasn't. None of the lightweights have. Zadorov and Gabranson can't catch him. Well, he actually bounced off Zadorov. I mean, Gabranson, which is not easy to do.
I've never seen a faster skater than McDavid.
No, I think it's safe to say he's the most skilled player of all time. And before people get crazy, it doesn't mean he's the greatest player of all time. It doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying, as far as skills, all the skills put together, there's nobody that's been faster with better hands, better shot, better ability in front of the net. He's amazing.
I'll go on the record as saying he's the best player I've seen since Lemieux in the 80s. Sorry, Sid. Sorry, Gino. Sorry, everybody else.
Everybody.
Stevie Y.
Yeah.
Since Lemieux, before Andy was born, when it would be back-checking the pens with Paul Stagerwald on the 6 o'clock news, whenever you didn't even see the games live, but they would just show Lemieux beating, you know, nine guys because he beat everybody twice. You know, yeah. pre-back, pre-surgery, when it was pre-Bob Airy, when his line mates were like nobody and nobody. That's the last time I saw somebody absolutely dominate the ice like McDavid is.
Yeah.
Speed, skill. He's getting knocked around. He's hitting people. I mean, he's put on a clinic. And Leon on half an ankle.
He's having an amazing playoffs, too.
I don't
Unbelievable.
Know if he started feeling better or what, but he had a two- or three-game stretch in the last series where he wasn't really himself, and he wasn't getting the shot off. He was kind of getting weak shots. They were going wide. It seemed like he couldn't bear down on that one side, and now he looks normal again. I don't know what they shot him up with, what kind of horse tranquilizers they have in the NHL. But, yeah, they've been fun to watch. I picked Calgary, but I'm rooting for Edmonton. I mean, I don't know. I like to root for greatness. I always, in any sport, I'll root for, even though I was a Steeler fan, I like to see Brady once he was really great. Like, you know, I root for greatness, and I want McDavid to win a cup.
Yeah, I picked Calgary. I still can't believe Mike Smith is winning playoff series, and until he does, I don't know. But I want to see McDavid versus McKinnon. I want to see the Avalanche. That all that speed. All that excitement.
Yeah, that'd be a great series.
It's going to be a great series, yeah. You know. And right now, I mean, Calgary doesn't have an answer. And I thought Markstrom has been – I mean, the first goal was okay. That's a flower gift. Anyone can make that mistake. But all those other goals are like – you never heard of a poke check? I mean, Evander Kane did the same move three times. He did the play – he did the Sega 1994, you know, backhand, forehand, forehand, backhand, forehand. Like,
I think
how many moves can you make the same move?
I think he's shell-shocked. I think that at a certain point, like you're facing so many pucks, and so many of these pucks are coming at you from weird and different angles. The Oilers shoot from all over the ice, especially the two freaks. I don't know what, you know, as a goaltender you can do in that situation other to come back from that. Like, that's why I don't feel good about Calgary. I don't see Markstrom writing his play enough to beat McDavid three times.
I have a question. Is Sutter getting out coached?
No, I love Jay Woodcroft, but no, I think that it's McDavid's league and everybody else is just playing in it.
Yeah, I think that too.
Do you put a line together, though? Do you put Coleman and Toffoli and I don't know who the center would be, but and just that you just shut down McDavid? I know, okay, so he gets 2 points and not five.
Well, in other words,
do you just
make some move?
Yeah, do you not? Because obviously, Johnny Hockey and Tkachuk are just playing defense the whole time because they can't. So they're offensively stunted, and then they can't stop them anyway.
Well, I think that
I
think that we saw that in the road games how much more Edmonton really was able to press them. I think I'm not sure what the exact matchup is there, but you're right. The top line being against McDavid's top line consistently can't really happen because then you're losing all your offense.
All your offense, yeah.
Yeah, to go back on defense for these guys. I don't know if he's out coached or there's this freak of nature that he can't deal with.
But, you know, we've all seen, okay, you're going to put best on best. You put Sid versus Bergeron. Okay, they cancel each other out. Or one game Sid has a couple goals, one game Pasta goes off. Or it's Sid versus Ovi, and it's a wash.
Well, maybe you try a check.
Because, yeah. Because you have Oshie and you have back. No one, they're not, I mean, they're not. Well, Tkachuk is not playing defense. You know, what's his name? Johnny Hockey's, you know, a lawn ornament.
Well,
they're not stopping those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you put a checking line on him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to do.
And then let those guys do their offense.
You got to do something.
But, yeah. But if you put the checking line on him, now the checking line's going to play 16 minutes a game, and your first line is you know, going to play significantly less, maybe 4 or 5 minutes less than they normally would. Now, if you win, it's a brilliant strategy. If you lose, and everyone looks at the ice time of Johnny Hockey and all the guys that score, and they see it's lower than Coleman. You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird strategy at that point.
I think Coleman with two rings, Toffoli with two rings, I think, and Daryl Sutter with two rings. He's not Woodcroft. He's not. You know, Brunette. He's Daryl Sutter. he's not worried about getting fired. He's not worried about his reputation. I'm just saying that you have to.
No, I'm saying
you have to do something.
I'm not saying worry about getting fired. I think the worry of making the wrong decision. You want to make the right decision, you know, and you don't want to think, man, I sat my talented guys down for 4 or 5 minutes a game. We lost by a couple goals, and you know.
If Johnny Hockey is doing nothing, though, for the 15 minutes he's on the ice, or 18, why not play him 14 when he's not against McDavid and Draisaitl?
Yeah, he's just chasing those guys.
and he's losing.
Yeah.
And Tkachuk has done nothing after the first game.
Yeah, I think in modern hockey you need to put two lines on that duty. So if you want to split the duty with a checking line and maybe the second line, I think that's probably the best way to do it. But I just think you can't have your checking line out as often as the first line of the other team is going to be out.
But I don't.
They'll also gas sooner. But you know what I mean?
But I don't think a Coleman Toffoli. I don't know who the center would be. I don't think that. I mean
Backlund.
Backlund. I mean Toffoli's eligible to score. You know, so's Coleman. It's not like they're not going to score. You know, it's not like you're putting Zach Aston Reese and Blueger and McGinn out there.
No,
who
but
are
it,
never going to score.
Generally, the ice time is ice time is so dramatically different between the top six and the bottom six that I still think that's closer to a third line or a second and a half line it is a first line. And so that's all I'm saying is I don't think that's a line you went out there constantly unless they're amazing at shutting him down. And I don't think anybody can shut this guy down.
I don't think he can, but I think, you know, game five in Calgary, I think you got to let McDavid. Because if anything, let Kane and Coleman fight. Get Kane off the ice for 5 minutes. I mean, let something happen where maybe Johnny Hockey and Tkachuk and Lindholm can be in the offensive zone for more than a face-off.
Because that's what's happened. They've taken their top offensive players and taken them out of the game.
Yeah, and let's face it, McDavid and Draisaitl are better defensive players than the top line of Calgary. So they're winning the puck. Easy for me to say. McDavid's back-checking.
Yeah,
so
is
Leon. So they're not winning those battles either. It's like they're not winning any. The Calgary organization, other than kind of Lucic's and Richie's line a little bit, they're not winning any battle anywhere.
No, and that line can take a while to get to the puck. I think what we always say when at this point in the season, your best players have to be your best players, and then they have to be better than the other team's best players. And Leon and McDavid are just untouchable.
Hard
right
to
now.
Do that in this one.
And I'm not blaming Johnny Hockey or it's just the way it is right now. Their best players are out playing Calgary's best players.
But I don't think it's even
Markstrom included.
I don't even think it's close, though. Like, I don't think you can blame Johnny Hockey. I just think that Jesus and Leon are just much better
just
players.
Sometimes you lose to a better. Sometimes you lose to a better team.
And Kane turns out to be a good pickup for him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And to my buddy, but now I'm going to space on his name, even though I listen to him every day. The guy in Toronto. Oh,
Merrick.
Yeah, what if Chris Tanev? Well, we saw what Chris Tanev plays. Do you think he ain't stopping anybody either? They should have rolled four lines. Playing the guy, I don't care if Chris Tanev came out of a cryo chamber 100% healthy. He's not stopping McDavid anyway. And I don't like 7-11-7 unless you're Tampa and you can play, 15-4. You know, 11-they should have had Richie playing. I think Calgary's better when they roll four lines.
Yeah, 11-7, defensemen usually hate that. It works for Cooper because Cooper has his room like nobody else does. But
they have seven worthy defensemen.
Yeah.
And when you double shift, I know Cooch or Point at some point, that doesn't hurt you.
Well, and they play McDonough, Hedman, and Serge so often that the other four are just kind of like the other four. Like they really are like this big platoon that's going to hop out when needed, when guys need some oxygen.
Let's get to that series. The sweep.
Wow. Never would have figured it.
I put this up whenever we're talking about, do you give the coach, why is he still an interim? I go, well, you never know if they get swept.
Well, yeah, then you got to think about it.
And now you're looking
at it. And so many good people are on the market.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think he has a chance of staying, which is a shame. I thought that he showed a lot with I think Andrew Burnett's now going to be a coach in this league. I think he showed a lot by stepping in. And with a team that had, a few really talented players, but for them to win the President's Trophy after losing their head coach, it was like a story like they were destined to win, or at least win more, at least win a game in the second round. I hate the stupid rat throwing, though. I know they still don't do it, so I can't never root for them. The Panthers are up there with one of the teams I just don't like, but... you know, this year I think we all bought into them being the best team for what, like half the season?
Yeah, they were great.
I picked them. I should have known any team that gets Claude Giroux is never going to win. I mean, how stupid of a pickup was that? He ruined the chemistry in that team.
I think they
didn't need him at all. They shouldn't have made a move. They shouldn't have made any moves except maybe getting Sherratt. Okay, one big tough defenseman. Okay, that should have been it. And they still have their draft picks.
Now, do you think that series was really the way it went was because Tampa Bay peaked at the right time?
I think they were the better team and they're battle tested, and we've been saying all year Tampa knows when to win when it's important. President's trophies don't matter, and they play such a dedicated system, and they're just a machine as far as blocking shots. Steve Stamkos blocked like three shots that could have been career enders in that one game seven. The whole team, when Steve Stamkos, who's gone out for so many injuries, if you're, a player on that team and you see him block three shots in a game seven to win, he's already got two rings. Like, I think that team is too deep. They're too good. I've been saying it all year, and that's why I'll never pick against them until they lose.
Vasilevsky is six shutouts clinching games.
The
last seven clinching games, he has six shutouts.
Unbelievable.
They could still be playing. They weren't going to score.
Yeah. He just played so well.
But, here's Burnett, though, right? I give him marks for beating the Capitals. I think when they beat the Capitals, I thought, well, they really are maybe going to show up this year. How do you not have Horny on the first power play?
Yeah. Yeah.
He puts Horny in. What do they do? First or second power play of that game, they score. That's just... And I tell you, why is Giroux on that power play? You know, I mean, they really made it like Rocket Richard was coming to that team. Giroux's never won a goddamn thing, and he ruined the team chemistry. Well, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. It's like they would have been better off getting Nick Paul.
Now, do you think with Burnett, he wins the President's Cup. What do you think? Is that enough to keep him?
I don't know.
He wins the first round.
It's a bizarre market, too. By the way, it's a market that even though they had a good team this year, I mean, you could get into a playoff game for $50, which was 10 times less than every other venue, at least for the average seater or whatever. So I don't know if Florida's a team that's going to be that active, but there's so many good head coaches out there. But I think that Burnett knew after game two and sort of the whole team, they weren't going to win that series. they were not going to beat Vasilevsky enough. They weren't going to win.
Started to look that way early, didn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Colton's series, Colton scored with like, 3 seconds left in game two?
Yeah.
And that was the whole series.
That was it.
Yeah. They win that game in overtime. It's 1-1. Hey, they don't get swept, obviously, but I think it's a whole different series. Once you get on 0-2, you're not going to win the series. It was a death by a thousand cuts.
And a mistake that bad, where both your defensemen go behind the net. I mean, that's just a killer because you want to blame Uyghur and be like, man, that was the series right there. Like, you following Kucherov behind
that was
the net.
A bad play.
Like, what can happen? What can he do behind the net? He can't put it under the net. Stay in front. There's already somebody
on him. He must be watching.
By the way,
he wasn't watching Letang play. Well,
what a great
that play!
What a great play by Cooch.
Didn't even see that out of Letang. I don't think that was so bad.
Oh, Letang's gone behind the net and chased more people than. I mean, that's straight out of the Letang playbook. And then turn around, oh, what happened? And then looking at, you know, Gino not back-checking. It's like,
well, Cooch knows when to go behind the net, it seems like.
Cooch is one of the top five players.
What an unbelievable play. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's time to stop. It's time to start really counting who shows up in the postseason as the best
player. Well, he's an unbelievable.
As the best players in hockey.
He's great.
Yeah, I'm sick of counting what people do in the regular season as mattering.
Swept them without point, too. Talk about people that are in the conversation for top five players in hockey as for showing up in important games.
Is he back for the next round?
No, I've heard both ways. I've heard they're going to shut him down, but to play mind games, they're not going to say he's shut down. And I've heard that, you know, he could come back at some
point. I don't think they need him until Colorado.
I would save him.
They swept Florida without him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they'll have a time with whoever wins the Rangers-Carolina series. That's for sure. I think that'll be a 5 or 6-game series that Tampa takes.
Yeah.
And what do you think will happen in that? Who's going to win that Rangers-Canes series? It's tied up?
I picked the Rangers. You know, I think the Canes just showed what the Canes are. They're just Aho and Teravainen are not Panarin. And Kreider and Zibanejad, and the cream really, really rises to the top. If you look at every playoff, if you look at every Stanley Cup, basically, maybe St. Louis, not so much. And I can hear that in my head. They beat them up. It's usually the three or four best players win the playoff series, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And bigger guns win.
For the Canes, it's home cooking, too. They're having trouble on the road.
Yeah, well, they haven't won on the road. They haven't lost at home. And that's why I think this next game is so huge. If the Rangers go up 3-2, they'll definitely win. If the Canes continue this not lose at home thing, they can theoretically still do that and win the series. If the Canes win game 5, they have to lose the next 2. So they either, you know, stop the streak of losing on the road or they keep the streak of winning at home going. I like whoever wins this next game. I think this game 5 is who's going to take the series.
I'm still not sold on the Canes just because I was telling Andy in the car. It's like Brendan Moore, give him coach of the year every year. Yeah, his team plays hard because what? He's in the exercise bike with the team after the game. Every team plays hard in the playoffs. You have to be a better team to win playoff series. It's not like, oh, how many teams just don't play hard in the playoffs? I mean, maybe you could say Florida a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah, Florida post game too.
You know, but I mean, how many, you know, teams really don't play hard?
I mean,
the Penguins were guilty of that a few times because I think Sid and Gino know, hey, we're not the best team, we know, so why am I going to take a puck in the face? But, you know, usually that's sorted out after round one. Almost every team after round one plays hard.
Yeah, and I think that for the big question mark is, like we said before, how, you know, Johnny Hockey just isn't as good as McDavid, and when your stars are better than their stars, you usually win, like we were saying. But I don't I think the top four Rangers are much more talented than the top four Carolina Hurricanes. And that's why I do tend to lean Rangers, but the Canes just play such a good system, and I think that's why people are all over Brendan Moore. Is it You never catch them up ice. They're always back, yet their defensemen are always active. They're just a well-coached team as far as the way they play the game.
The Carolina Hurricanes, though, they dump and chase. They dump and chase. Problem against dump and chasing is the Rangers is you got Lindgren and Trouba take your head off.
Trouba's been hitting people.
Or you have Fox and Kevon Miller who can go back and get the puck. So you're dumping and chasing, and then Igor's not bad with the puck, so it's like you're not – their game is not set up to beat the Rangers right now.
No, but I'm surprised. Like, I'm surprised it's 2-2. I got to say, I did pick the Canes going into the series, but I thought, man, the Rangers play a period every other game where they look like they could beat absolutely anybody. And then they play two periods where they're just pretty good. When the Rangers are really going, really getting that puck deep and chipping it around, they look unbeatable, but they don't always look like that.
And I think Shesterkin has found his game.
He has, and I think that's a huge problem, obviously, for Carolina. And I think Carolina is on the verge of a goalie controversy because now you have Anderson taking every shot, all those shots in practice. Now they say he's up to speed. Is he better than Ranta right now?
He had a really good season.
But Ranta had a couple nice saves though in that last game.
Hot right now. It's a tough call.
And who's Freddie ever beat in the playoffs? Do you want that controversy going against Shesterkin?
I'd stick with Ranta.
I would too. I'm just saying it's
unless you change over series, like if they win this series and then next series they go to Anderson, that has to happen in between a series, I think. I wouldn't want to, with Jari coming in for King Louis, that was different. That was replacing a third stringer that was not playing particularly well. As best as he could. But still not NHL level. This is a guy, the backup's playing well enough to win the series.
Yeah, I wouldn't make the change, but I think it's a topic of conversation. I mean, if it was New York or Philly or even Pittsburgh or anywhere but Carolina, it would be a hot button issue.
Yeah, a little bit. It really developed over the past 2 weeks where, you know, they had faith in Ranta, and they thought he could play well. But then he was dinged up when they first came into the playoffs, so they weren't even sure how he was going to be health wise. It's an interesting situation, but I'm not sure that either one of them are the difference.
So Ranta gives up; they lose 3-2. Let's say they lose 2-1. Shesterkin's on his head. Let's say they lose 2-0. 1-0. That Zibanejad scores a power play goal and then an empty netter. They lose 2-0 game 5 in Carolina. Ranta, good. Do you go to Mr. Anderson in the Garden in game 6?
No.
No, I stick with Ranta.
I stick with Ranta too, for sure. The guy that's been playing, the guy that's faced pucks.
And he's made some great stops.
Because again, what the Penguins asked of Jari to do in game 7, I think he played really well, was crazy. And you only do that if it's your third string or your guy is really struggling. Ranta's just playing too well. Especially if the hypothetical game happens that way. He's just playing too well to take him out of the crease right now.
I agree with both of you. But then why would you really publicize how much work Anderson's getting in?
Because he was like their regular season MVP. He was like their big guy all year. He was really their star player. Like, I'm not taking anything away from the rest of them, but he was the guy people mentioned when they talked about Carolina.
Or maybe to keep the Rangers guessing.
That's a good point. No, it seems like they're creating a controversy that wouldn't. If you just say, oh, Anderson's back in Raleigh, you don't say, oh, he's taking shots, he's facing, you know. It seems like they're building him up that, like, he's going to be the savior, which he's not Patrick Waugh.
No, no.
Well,
or Vasilevskiy.
The guys,
he's a good goalie, but yeah.
The guys at the Athletic only have, what, like 8 teams left to cover? They got to write something. So, you know what I mean? Like, whether or not Anderson's facing pucks and how he looks, is, you know, it's going to come out.
Very fair point. You know who's not facing any pucks? Jordan Binnington.
Oh, man. Wow.
He is out. He's throwing water bottles. And tap of the stick, Nazim, the dream, Kadri.
You got to give him some props.
100% props.
And by the way, I don't think that was a bad hit.
No, I mean, it was.
He may have been pushed in fact.
He kind of went. It was one of those, oh, don't mean to. Oh, don't mind if I do, fall on the goaltender. It's the playoffs. You do what you got to do.
But I don't think he ran him.
He didn't run him at all. He fell on him.
He fell. Yeah.
I mean, it's what happens. What's every coach say? We got to get in the goaltender's way. He's hot. We got to make his life miserable. It wasn't a malicious play at all.
No, I didn't think so.
It was a hockey play.
That's right.
It's becoming a huge theme in the playoffs. I mean, going back to the Kako disallowed goal in the first round versus the Rangers. Teams are going to the net, and they're going to the net hard. I do think that with Joe, what you said is completely right, just from, you know, my stupid Jersey youth hockey league years. I mean, if you're going to go in, you might as well go in as hard as you can. I'm not saying you're trying to hurt anybody, but it's like, hey, I'm in the front here. I'm going to go after this puck. So I do think that there was a little bit of ill intent, but that's the game. Same with Lucic going in on Smith. Yeah, it's not all, you know, it's not all beautiful thoughts when this is going on, but that is hockey.
Well, you know, I love Binnington, you know, and I hate to see him out, but I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, it's been 100%. I mean, Louis Domingue got hit 20 times harder than that. It just didn't happen to get hurt.
And Smith got hit.
I mean, Lafreniere ran him over. Lafreniere's the number one pick. He doesn't have the, you know, Kadri, you know, his background. I don't mean background. I do want to get into this.
Yeah, Berube, that's just
threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
I do want to get into this. Enough with the, this is horrible, racism in hockey. He ran over the goaltender in a playoff series. Ask Nick Kiprios how many death threats he got when he ran over Grant Fuhr. I mean, they just weren't on Twitter. They were in the mail or in the hotel. Yeah. You know, look at what happened to Rocket. There's been death threats in hockey in the playoffs since ice was froze.
I think that's the difference. Yeah. Is that now anybody that's like the total puss can just sit there on a computer and say something? And you used to have to find the phone number or the mailing address of the guy. You used to have to really stalk him and figure out where he lived. Now you can just tweet at his wife and stuff. It's messed up, but I am surprised that the world is constantly surprised that there's idiots online. Of course, bad things are being said. There's idiots.
I just don't get the whole race. It's about race. It's not. If Nazem Kadri was, you know, was whatever, Andy Gallagher from Minnesota, and he ran Bennington, he'd have just as many death threats.
He would,
that
but they would.
And I might not use it. You know, he's a
playoff staple.
Whatever,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It's that's what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the other thing is that when a guy does it who you know is a minority, and then obviously the way people heckle them are these idiots online. The way they heckle is going to change. They're going to go for the low hanging fruit that you know would just. So again, it's being surprised people are morons online is again a news story that seems like it happens every day.
Yeah,
can you
sure.
believe there's miserable people in the world? Yeah. I can. I have a Twitter.
Yeah. And then saying, you know, why doesn't the NHL and the players step up? I think because the players understood he ran the goalie. That's why they're mad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's.
And it's like Andy said, it's playoff hockey, though. Yeah, everybody's going for it.
It's been happening. Like I said, remember Grant Fuhr?
Yes.
How many death threats did Adam Graves get? When he injured Lemieux.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty.
Someone brought a sign to the game that said Bury Graves. And and they actually, it makes all the documentaries. It's like a famous sign.
Yeah, he was said to put the sign down.
Not only not put it down, they made posters of it and stuff. So, I mean, like, yeah, it's always been part of the game. It's just messed up when it happens to be, you know, somebody's black or Native American or... I got to be honest here. I'm not even sure what Kadri is. I have no idea. I don't look up nationalities that often until it's the Olympics. Like I don't know.
Yeah, because my wife we were watching and she saw the. She's like, well, what is he? And I go, and he's like the Middle Eastern or something. Like, yeah,
Middle Eastern,
yeah,
I believe. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't. It doesn't always. And of course, you know, my hero, the minor leaguer. Alu or whatever, you know. Of course, he had to chime in. I hate to see this in hockey. Take it. It's like enough. Can we just play hockey?
Now, does Bennington being out turn the series?
Well, Husso looked terrible.
Yeah,
how did Husso even start the playoffs with that?
He did look terrible.
That's the bigger story.
Yeah, I thought that they were playing a little reckless, more reckless than the Blues ever play in front of their goal because Bennington was on fire. So I think it changed things a lot in that way. Is that Bennington allowed them to go to the races with Colorado a little bit. And Husso's just not going to – that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to have to be better on two-on-ones. He's going to have to expect a few breakaways coming back. That's the way they got to score to beat Colorado because Colorado's going to score 3 goals. So you can't just sit back and wait for Colorado to make mistakes. It's going to be 3-0. You'll just lose.
I mean, you know, other than Giroux – I don't think anyone's cost themselves more money, or maybe Brunette, than Husso.
Oh, yeah.
Husso went into this postseason looking for a new contract, and maybe Bennington is shipped somewhere to, I mean.
We'll take him.
Really?
Bennington?
For sure. I'm talking about Husso, though.
No, Husso. I'll take Bennington, though.
Anyway. Yeah. But he's not going anywhere now.
No, not now.
You can't rely on Husso.
Yeah. He let 4 goals in immediately.
He still had,
immediately.
Yeah.
I mean.
He still had a pretty good season, but yeah, the playoffs is when people notice more. And if he doesn't at least, you know, lose 2-1 in the elimination game, he's cost himself maybe a starting job.
All right. The big news in my world, the greatest news I've heard in 10, 15 days, the Rusty Razor Brian Rust signs. 6 years. I'd give him 20 years. Never leave, Rust. 5.125.
What a bargain.
What a bargain. Frage, I've said on many guys' cases, I think Philip Forsberg, the first one, let me be his agent. Are you kidding?
Yeah, who is his agent?
Are you kidding me?
He should be getting way more than that.
Our agent could do a better job than this.
Even Joe Coco would put that together.
Yeah, I mean, that is he left at least $10 million on the table, in my opinion. Someone gives him 7.5.
I was really surprised at that number.
You know, I couldn't believe it.
I'm sorry, 6.5.
Remember, Joe, and I texted you, and I go, I think this is real. It was real. I just didn't want to believe it yet.
It was like one of those stupid bots. Crosby traded to Ottawa.
Yeah.
It looked that stupid.
And I was like, I tweeted you. I was like, don't get excited, but I think this is real. And then as I'm uploading Yohi's Twitter feed like manually to see what the next tweet is, and I see him put up a tweet that goes, they're very, very, very close. And at that point, I'm like, okay, it's real then. It's definitely going to happen. You got to give Hextall credit on this one. I don't know how you get 5.1.
Wow.
One of the better wingers in the league. He's going to make a lot of short lists of best wingers in the league. Like, he's not going to be in the top 5, 6, 7 guys, but he's right after those guys, as best wingers, most productive wingers in the league. And $5.1 million, that's
fire,
a steal.
Fire your agent on that one.
He said he wants to stay in Pittsburgh, and he looked at the total number being $30 million, and that was good to him.
And also, Hextall calls him, or Hextall and his agent, or however it goes down for the final, yes, as he's having a birthday party for his kids in Pittsburgh. All his kids' Pittsburgh friends are there. All his Pittsburgh friends are there. And he's like, well, yeah, I want to stay. Where am I having my party at next year? You know, come back here.
Yeah, it's amazing. And now, you know, I can finally buy my Rust jersey.
At least you got it.
I have my Rust Cancer Foundation t-shirt, but I'm going to buy the jersey. Yeah, it's the Rusty Razor. We have our captain now, once Sidley. Like, this is it. Yeah. Now, I'm prepared now for Geno. Being Rick Tocchet's number one center in Dallas, I really am. I'm prepared. Just don't sign Letang, and I'm happy. That's enough. I mean, I can't believe that he signed for $5 million. That's insanity. You would have given him 7.5.
Easy.
I
would have given him more than that.
Top line guy that can play with your number one center. Number one penalty killer.
I think he's worth 8.
2 Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
And the Penguins still have approximately $25 million worth of cap room after the Rust signing. So they still have a lot of money. It'll be interesting to see how they spend it.
Yeah, they need to get, I don't know, I would circle Rust, Sid, Snake, and Jari, and I would say, here's everybody else to JR in Vancouver, and say, how do I get JT Miller?
You know, this is
that's exactly what I would say, and then I would lowball Geno, make Geno come back and play Russ with Geno and play JT Miller with Sid. I think the whole key to the Penguins being better than we can imagine next year is if Rusty is a second line winger with Trocheck or Geno or somebody good, and you give Sid some guy with my shoulders and my attitude, because that's what they need. Obviously, you look at everybody else in the playoffs. McKinnon's got Landeskog, right? Jesus has Kane. Tampa's just team tough, but you know what I mean. You need someone to protect your stars.
Yeah, you do. Yeah
and I
or
and
at
I...
least be ready to.
And I think part of that $25 million that they have left, I don't think part of it is for either of those two guys anymore. I really think Hextall is going to stick with his, what was it, $6 million over 3 years for both of them to keep them. And I don't think he'll give them anything more. And I think they're both going to walk. And I'll still love them forever. They'll still be two favorite Penguins of mine.
I got no problem seeing Letang walk. I'll be sad. It's a shame, like I said last week, it's a shame Geno didn't get to play his 1,000th game as a Penguin. But oh well. Hope a nice tribute video. You know, I mean,
he still might stay. I think Letang is definitely gone. I love Hextall's quote of, in a perfect world, we keep both of them. That's always leads to a no. Whenever someone goes, in a perfect world, it means that thing is not going to happen.
He really slobbered over Geno, saying, wow, he's, you know, one of the best players. He's one of the top couple players of this generation. He He's one of the greatest players ever. We want him to be a lifelong Penguin. He goes, and Letang, too.
Yeah, he threw in Letang.
I know, because he knows no one looks dumber than him. Someone's going to – he can't pull on the heartstrings of Trocheck. So someone's going to overpay Trocheck.
Yeah,
So then who are they going to get? They're going to show up with Jeff Carter as the number two center. That's going to make him look terrible. He needs to sign Gino. He needs to give Gino. If Gino wants 3x6'5", he's got to give it to him. And then I think he'll do that.
I think he might even give him 7. I really do. If there's a center,
I think Gino can take that, and I think everyone goes home happy.
If there's a center out there that he likes more than Gino, and he misses out on him, I think Gino's number all of a sudden starts ticking up, or the term. Because I think Gino is big on term. I think he wants 4 or 5 years, and I think they only wanted to give 3.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah, they want to line everything up. I thought they want to line everything up with Sid.
Well, they don't want to resign everybody on the same year if they have to do it again, and I don't think they're going to do it again. They're trying to get everybody to stay there for Sid's window.
I think if they can, get Gino to 1,000 games, I think it meant a lot. Gino saw the I think that ceremony with Sid really crushed those two, thinking, "Well, we may not be here for this." That was a big ceremony. Mark Giordano taking the hometown discount, $800,000 for 2 years for Toronto. He took the Jason Spezza. Like playing here in Toronto. It's a great move for Toronto.
It sure is. That's pretty low.
They're willing to give him $1 million for one. And he said, if you sign me for 2 years, I'll take $800,000.
Is that what he said?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Because he was going to just keep signing one-year deals, but he wanted to leave money on the table and get another year, and so they can be a little bit better. And the cap's going up $1 million, so that's evens out even money for the Leafs there.
Yeah, they have a lot of – we have all summer programming to worry about them, but they got a lot of – they have a lot of problems. We talk about it every week, but it's
it
never changes.
They're one of the most popular logos in the sport, and they're supposed to be winning by now. So I think it's fair to talk about them as much. And there's so much drama around.
Is Willie gone? Somebody mentioned that to me. I don't know.
He's the only tradable one.
They've said it for 3 years, though.
I would keep him, though.
The rest of them have no movement clauses, and if you trade Marner doesn't have a no movement, but if you trade Marner, I don't think it works.
He had a good year again.
He had a great year.
Yeah.
The fan base and the team gets worse and antsy without Marner.
It's the original sin. It's the original sin. Well, two of them. They got rid of Lou, and then they overpaid. Then they got Tavares. They still had Lou, and they didn't have John Tavares, and they had Kadri. I bet they would have won the first round by now.
Yeah, Kadri would have helped him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe they would have got horny. Maybe they would have got Dusty. Maybe they would have got someone that won something to lead the way.
Dripping with talent for 5 years, and they can't get out of the first round.
But dripping with talent with four guys. After that, where's the talent?
I thought this year's team was pretty talented. And again, I was more into Bunting than I think a lot of other people were. I just think he didn't play well in the playoffs. Hyman, I thought was a good player. They've always had a good core team.
Four goals in four games. I take back some of what I've said about Hyman. He's played great against Calgary. 4 goals in 4 games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, they would keep Hyman if they didn't have Tavares. There's a lot of guys they can fill around.
What is it, almost 11 million? It's like 10 point something million a year. Come on.
It's sadder in a way because he's never won anything, so it makes it even worse than Pittsburgh in the sense of, like, I'm not sold on Morgan Riley. Morgan Riley to me is not a number one. He's a number two defenseman on a great team. He's not a number one defenseman. He's not Drew Doughty. He's not Victor Hedman.
He's a lot like Letang. He pinches up a lot. He's up on the play. He's sort of like a winger.
And when Letang won his cups, who was the best defenseman? It was Gonchar. Gosh. And then... okay, Dumo really led the way defensively in 2016, and he didn't play in 2017.
Yeah, I was going to say 16, though, he was a big player for them in 16. I think 16 was the cup, definitely the cup where he added the most.
Right. Oh, that definitely was. I'm just saying, who else? Petrangelo, I don't know. Morgan Riley, I didn't never give him a big contract. They're afraid to let people walk in that town.
Well, when they drafted him, they were obsessed with him. That was one of those things where they thought he was really going to be you know, the next big offensive threat in the NHL, and they really molded him off of Letang, Carlson, both Carlsons.
Here's the awards. We got some great ones this week. The Linda Cones got to go to Mike Smith on the Anderson goal. The Hartnell goal, the goal where you just hate the guy so much he scores in your face. Nazem Kadri
did it three
with
times.
The hat trick. with Perron and the other guy coming out of and Buchnevich coming out of the box just in time to be a minus one.
I know we
have in the wound.
I know we have another name there, but that also would have qualified him for the Korea.
Oh,
he's coming back and getting a hat trick.
Oh yeah. Well, he didn't really get hurt. That's the thing. Perron can't hurt anybody. He can take a 5-minute major for cross checking.
But I'm just saying he took all that heat.
Oh, he took all the heat. Yeah, and then the Shanny's got to go to Richie. His shining moment. He knocked Kane off the ice and scored the big Brendan Shanahan goal in Game One. But that was not lasting too long. And then there we go with that. Oh, how happy was everybody in Game One in Calgary? You had the Tkachuk talking crap to Kane, going, "You want to borrow some money?" One of the best chirps ever.
Yeah,
that is funny.
Then you had the Tkachuk family, the younger brother, running beer up.
Brady had two in his back pocket and one in his hand.
Yeah. And then the big guy, Keith. I'm not throwing my favorite hat on the ice. I don't care who scores the hat trick. And the Howie's got to go to Carolina Twitter going after Bud Light. Did you see that phrase?
No, what? No.
The whole thing, it actually started in Washington, D.C. when they wouldn't let Penguin fans show up at Capitals games, where you have to have the area code to buy the tickets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they did it in Carolina so no Ranger fans could buy tickets. You had to have the area code or the zip code on your credit card. So the Budweiser said, well, sorry you can't get into the game, but we'll give you a free Bud Light or something like that. And then the Carolina Twitter said, don't worry, we already have free water fountains.
And by the way, this will be a story next round if Tampa plays New York, because the Rangers, Tampa created a rule where you couldn't wear the other team's jersey behind their bench. I don't know if you guys remember that a couple years ago, and I think they ended up getting rid of that, but you still can't wear like the colors in certain areas because Ranger fans take over Tampa.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that.
Hagel on Lusterin, that little push in the back. Some people wanted it to be a 5-minute major. He'd thrown out of the league forever, played in the KHL. I don't think it was that bad, but it was cost him $3,750. A little dirtbaggy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was the most worst thing. I've had people on Twitter asking me what you think. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but, didn't have to do it. Didn't have to do it. Dangerous play. Dangerous play. The Paul Kariya's got to go to Perry. Corey Perry gets hit in the face in pregame, comes out and scores a big goal. How about Toronto? No, we'd rather have Wayne Simmons than Corey Perry. Okay.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Wow. Wayne's working on his handicap.
Corey Perry, wow.
Just a winner.
Yep.
Just everywhere he goes, we'll see in the finals.
Looking good.
Poor man's Pat Maroon, or the rich man's Pat Maroon. It's somebody's Pat Maroon. All right. I've got another confession to make. We talked about Leon. We talked about everyone's got the chance. McJesus. I was going to say McJesus right there. That's all you can say. Lemieux. It's Jesus. We got the Claudes. Palat out of the box into the back of the net. Right there.
Yeah.
Skirt, was that last week? Was it Cooch? When did we talk about that?
We did talk about that, the Cooch.
Cooch against Ekblad, just a horrible. No Pro Bears. There might be one coming soon, though.
<We'll see. laughs> Yeah.
We'll see. Lots of saves. Lots of saves. Bobo, the glove on Palat in Game 2. And that's when Andy texted me and said we might as well retire the save of the week for this week. That was a ridiculous.
Amazing.
I had to look and make sure he wasn't in the net, and he yanked it back out. That's how great of a save it was. Binnington the leg on McKinnon in game two. Vasilevskiy the glove on Reinhart in game three. Ranta on Mott with a stick in game three. Kemper the arm on Shen game four. Igor the glove on Pesci in game four. That was huge. Igor the skate on TiVo game four. I thought this was huge, but it didn't matter, though. Markstrom on Leon last night on the power play. I thought that was going to be the game right there when he stopped him with the glove, but didn't happen. And then Ranta shorthanded last night on Kreider.
That was a great save. Also, I think Shesterkin on Teravainen.
Yeah, I got that. Igor with the skate.
Great save.
All right, we'll give him that one. And now we'll get to the Goonies. The Goonies. Looch hitting Jesus. Looch hitting Russell. Looch hitting Smith. We'll get that in a second. Domi on Lindgren. Cicerelli running Bobo. Perron and Booch on Kadri. Barbashev cracking Gerard. Gerard out indefinitely. Cracked sternum. And then last night, Trouba on Domi.
Got to go with Trouba.
And then he fought Lorenz.
Yeah.
What do you think of that hit real quick?
I thought that was, again, a hit with bad intentions. It was a legal hit, but, you know, you don't need to try and kill the guy that's that much smaller than
that's,
you. That's just the way I feel about it. It was a legal hit to me, but...
And that's how Trouba's been playing in these playoffs.
Fourth time he's injured someone this
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
Fourth time.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, until you put a stick through his skull, it's going to happen. People would think Colin Campbell's going to stop it, or whoever. The stash is going to. They're not. No one's going to stop it until someone goes up and puts their stick through his goddamn head, or you know what? You take the board. Oh, look whose face is against the wall. Bam. Goodbye. That's it. Out game four. Out game. He's skating with the trainer. Game six. That's how you end that. Until then. Enough. Quick cry. But in what's his name? Brindamore's defense, he didn't whine about it. So good on Brindamore. I want to talk real quickly, a couple more seconds here. I want to talk about Looch and Smith. I love Sutter. Yeah, they called that a board? Okay, well. Or they called that a charge? Yeah, just think if he really did charge on Smith. And then Looch with
good the, impression.
Looch with the best. Yeah, I like what Daryl said, I think if I did charge him, I think we both wouldn't be playing.
Would
tonight.
Not be playing it, yeah. That was a good...
God bless the Looch. Yeah, is Looch a free agent? Can we get Looch? Please.
He's back to being Looch.
He's back to being Looch. Looch yeah. He looked good on Sid's line.
Hey, the Neil...
I don't think Trouba does that with Looch on your line.
Hey, the Neil...
No, he doesn't.
Remember
the Neil for Looch trade when that happened? We were debating who that would work out better for.
And
now Looch is literally trying to kill them.
I didn't debate it whatsoever. Long live Mian Lucic. I'm taking the week out. Tonight I'm at the USS Iowa with Ian Bagg.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Doing a fun show. Then yeah. I took the weekend off. I've done enough comedy. I'll be back next
You were great at the improv the other night, though.
Thank you. Yeah. I got to do the double dip.
Yeah, you saved the day.
I'm hanging out. I'm just doing local stuff.
And I will be at Laugh Factory on Saturday night.
Right on. And this is Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yeah.
All right, everybody, right. All the troops, we always say love the troops.
Love the troops.
Happy Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day to Aaron.
And thank Aaron, our great producer, yeah.
Fuzz didn't even bark yet. She must not be hungry.
Fuzzy enjoyed the show.
She had an egg this morning. That's funny.
She loves that. All right, we want to thank all the Puck Off fans. Playoffs continue. Enjoy them, gang. For Joe Bartnik, Andy Picaro, and Aaron, our producer, this is Fraser Smith. We are Puck Off. We are out.